In the past week's Parsha, what are you laughing about already? Past week's Parsha, so Paro has crazy dreams. Got these seven fatty cows, man. These seven fatty bundles. And he bugs face. I mean, he can't handle it. He just can't handle it. These seven fatty cows get devoured by these wimps. And he's bugging out. And not only that, but every interpretation we know from Chazal, everyone who tries to interpret it, not good enough. So these dreams must have been really making Paro crazy. There's something really, really, really wrong with these dreams. Something was bothering him very, very deep. And whatever he heard just didn't satisfy him. There was something really bothering him. And Pashup Shat, what was bothering him? Pashup Shat. Something so good. I mean, they were into cows back then, I don't know, but I never saw such gorgeous cows. And then they could just disappear. And it was just bothering him so bad. So what happens? Yosef comes out. Everybody knows the story, but we won't spend any time on it. And Yosef interprets the dreams. And he says those seven fatties, those are seven great years. And those seven scrawnies, those wimps, those are seven bad years. And the bad years are going to be so bad that those good years are just going to disappear. Which is exactly what you saw. And Paro deep down said, wow, that's it. That's what was bothering me. How could it be that something so good, when everything's so right, how could it just disappear? And then Yosef pulls a fast one. Yosef was not asked to give advice. He was asked to interpret the dream, and he interpreted the dream. But he pulls a fast one. Yosef says, so what you got to do is as follows. He puts his two cents and he says, what you got to do is these seven good years. You got to take advantage of these seven good years. And if you take advantage of those seven good years and the bad years, it won't make a difference. Ignore what you saw in the dream, that the seven bad years are going to just devour. But you know what? Ignore that. Don't worry. You take care of the good years and everything's going to be great even when those bad years come. And it's unanimous. Paro and all the servants, the Pasuk says, there's nobody like this Yosef person. He goes from rags to riches in literally as much time as it takes you to get out of the pit, take a shave, and change your clothing, and interpret a dream. Maybe it took 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Matters if you had to wait online at Shmuley's, Chesnish, I have no idea. But anyway, that's it. And the whole thing changes. But the question is the obvious one, which is that, I mean, interpreting the dream, that was difficult. That's true. There was something bothering Paro deep down, and nobody was hitting the point. And Yosef hits the point. He's like, them great years, they're just going to disappear because it's going to be so bad. That I hear. He interprets the dreams, and nobody else could do it. But after that, Yosef, mind your own business. You don't have to be this guy with a 1600 on his SATs and this brilliant, they used to call it back in the day, a brain surgeon. I don't know what they call it anymore. You don't have to be this brilliant guy to figure out now what we should do. Obviously, if you're going to have seven great years, then you best be using them well or you're going to be in big, big trouble. So what were they so impressed about? What they were impressed about is that most people, when times are good, you live it up. Times are great. And when you hear that afterwards it's going to be a disaster, you know what they do? They for sure live it up. Everybody knows those teenage years, you know? They only last, you know, from the age of like 9 to 28 now. So you better take advantage of that. You think it's a joke. It's not a joke. Clinical tests have proven that, okay, anyway, that it starts about, adolescence starts about 9, ends about 26, 25 or 26 it ends. So you guys have a few years to do foolish stuff. You can blame me. I don't care. Anyway, so you don't have to be so brilliant to figure out that you take advantage of the good times. But the answer is you do. Because people, if they have a beautiful golden opportunity, especially if they find out that that time is going to end, you really, really enjoy yourself. Like any trip you would go on, any vacation you would go on. If you know it's going to end, you're told it's going to end, so just live it up. So Yosef said, even though the dream says what's going to happen in nature, but you can work this one through. Play it smart, and it'll come out for your own good. Rav Segel, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, said, he says the same thing applies to us. We have what's called good times. We have good times. Not the good times that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva. He says that America has destroyed their children, he writes in the Tshuva. Because America has taught a concept of Gimel Vav Dalid, Tes Yud Yud Mem. Have good time. Is it right? You saw that Tshuva. They've destroyed their children. There's no such thing as a good time. You use your time well if you need to relax. Says Manchester Yeshiva, there's good times when a person's a Bachur in Yeshiva, or even a younger man in Kail. It's good times. Not too much is going on, especially in a Yeshiva like this. The food, it's good. Laundry's right here. Pupes, not that far. I didn't say that. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's that. Shabbosim are amazing. The learning is amazing. The Beis Medrash, it's freezing in the winter with the air conditioner on. But everything's set up. And if you'll take advantage of those good years, those good times, then even when the years that are not so easy, they're not so good per se, but you see you invested in yourself, and not only will those good times, well, not only will those bad times not affect you, the opposite, a person will still be able to grow. We spoke at one time over here, if I remember correctly, a word from the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Beis, the Mishnah says, "In batalto min haTorah, if you're mevatal Torah, yishcha b'telem harbe. Derech shana moitzi leilech, malichin oso, avera gereres avera. In batalto, if you're mevatal, when you could learn Torah, in batalto min haTorah, yishcha b'telem harbe, kenesh decho. You'll see there'll be times in your life, Hashem, avera gereres avera, if you're mevatal Torah, Hashem will send more b'telem in your life, because that's what you created for yourself. Derech shana moitzi leilech, malichin oso." And then the Mishnah continues, says, "V'imamalta b'Torah." And if you're amal b'Torah, you work hard. You work hard. You invest your koyches in Torah. Yesh lecha schar harbe liten lecha. Then Hashem gives you tremendous schar. And the Chavetz Chaim asks that the Mishnah doesn't really read very well. It says in batalta, if you're mavato, so avera gerera savera. V'derech shad mor tzilei lech mor lichan oisai. In batalta, yesh lecha b'teilem harbe. You'll have more betayla, more things to make you waste your time in life. V'mamalto, it should say yesh lecha amelis arbe. His damnut l'omal, however you want to say it. The opportunity to be omal. Why doesn't it say that? Why does it say in amalto b'tor yesh lecha schar harbe? Hashem gives you tremendous schar. And the Chavetz Chaim says, because life doesn't always permit a person to be omal b'tor. Life, a person might have work that he has to do, or with children, family, even sometimes you even have to go on vacation. There are things that a person needs to do in life. But if a malta, when you have the opportunity to learn Torah b'amelus, however long that would be, a day or a year, or however long, for however, how many years, in a malta b'Torah, yeshucha schar harbe, that even when you won't be able to be amal b'Torah, you'll have schar at those times when you can't be amal, as if you're being amal b'tayr. If a person takes advantage of his good times, when it's easier to learn and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even when a person's unable to do that, he has schar in those times, which is exactly what happened in Mitzrayim. Exactly what happened. They stored up, this week's parsha, they stored up, last week's parsha, they stored up, and they didn't just party it up and just live it up. And what happened? They had, for when the famine actually came, they ended up, we'll see, they ruled the entire world. The entire world they owned. They invested, they used the good times well, and the schar came in the end. We've hit a zone right now, which is called incentives. I don't know if someone spoke on it this morning, or maybe over Shabbos, but I'd like to share with you, my feelings a little bit on this time period of incentives. I call it, you know, to myself, steroids. steroids. If someone, anybody here work out? Anybody here use steroids? Okay, let's go. Let's go personal. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, what do steroids do? What do they accomplish? Steroids. A, it's a drug. Gotta love that, right? Sorry, that was for you, Brusher. It's a drug. And drugs get you from point A to point B quick. You know, that's really what drugs do. It's totally not natural, and I love it. But I do. I have to say one thing that gets it, that it won't be posted on the whatever. But that's what drugs do. It gets you somewhere quick. If you want to be big quick, faster, stronger, better, bigger, you know, you take steroids. To me, that's what incentives are. Incentives is where you ultimately want to get. You ultimately want to be a person who's shar misdarim, that davens properly, shows up on time, he works on his midas, he comes to Musar Seder, he does all these things that he needs to do. He doesn't have to stay up too late at night, you know, doing foolish things because you have a whole day tomorrow. Come to shir and try and work. That's ultimately what a person really wants to do, right? Just we need a steroid. We need something a little bit, we'll call it artificial. A little bit. No, really, that's what it is. It's artificial. It's a little bit not real in a certain way, but we have that get big quick incentive. Now, you could take that steroid, but you still got to hit the gym, right? Still got to hit the gym. So you could sign up for incentives, but it's going to cost you an awful lot of monies if y'all don't show up. You got to hit the base medrash. And even if you hit the base medrash, if you look at the, you know, you pumped steroids, and then you look at the weights. Looking in the mirror when you took steroids doesn't do anything. It doesn't. I don't know how it makes you feel, but it doesn't do anything for your muscles. You actually have to work out. You really do. And you got to work hard. It's unbelievable how the muscle is really a very good muscle, as we'll see in Mr. Shem at the end. But, you know, anybody who's ever worked out before knows that where do you really get ripped? I mean, where are you going to be cut? You're going to hit the next level. That last set, the last lift of the last set, where it hurts so bad. Go, 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 that one. That last one is where you can't walk out. But then later, the next day, you just, you know what I mean? You just, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing that. So it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. And incentives, a person is doing something that is really not in the norm. It's not comfortable in any way. I don't know how many of you already felt like, I can't believe I'm going to do this. You know, I can't believe I signed up for this. But, you know, it's a long day. And the storm are long. And if you did 10 hours, or you're almost doing 10 hours, you realize, like, whoa, that's intense. But that's where the growth ultimately happens. The fum tzara agra, Chazal tell us. According to the amount of difficulty, the tzar, literally tzar means pain, it is difficult. It's uncomfortable. I forgot which one of the rabbeim, I think maybe it was Shiva, I don't remember. He said, to get out of your comfort zone. I don't remember who used that expression. Mashkiach, to get out of your comfort zone. I'm sure you'll hear it also. I don't mind stealing people's tire, you know what I mean? It's emes. But there's a beautiful Gemara in Shabbos. Everyone knows, I'm sure you've seen it. About the time of Chanukah and the Yevanim. It could be you've heard this Dvar Torah already, so it'll just be a Chazara. It says, Shenichnasu ha-Yevanim le-Heichal. When the Yevanim came into the Heichal, what did they do? Timu kol ha-Shmanim she-be-Heichal. Kshagavar Malchus mis-Chashmanoi. Nitzchon botku v'lo matzu ala pach echad shel shemen, but had the chesemes of the kainga. So Sfas Emes makes a bunch of diukim on the Gemara, but I'll just give you, I'll explain it in our modern day terminologies. It says, Shenichnasu yevonim leheichal, they came into the Beis HaMikdash, and they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't even trying to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Could be they felt that was such a beautiful building, chaval, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But what they do? Timu kol hashmanim. What does timu kol hashmanim mean? They happen to have bimatam of the shmanim? Or timu kol hashmanim meant they went and badafke, they were matama kol hashmanim. Says the Sfas Emes, they went in, thousands and thousands of soldiers, with the best sniffing, I don't know if they had sniff dogs, sniff elephants, sniff tigers, I have no idea what they had. But they sniffed out the oil, and they went bedavka to be matama the oil. That's what they went in there for. Let me just give you a muscle, okay? Let me give you a muscle. You know, there are certain states that the oil is legal, okay? And certain states that the oil is not legal. So the states that the oil is not legal, trust me, they've got a lot of people, like them, you know, DEA dogs, you know, sniffing out them oils to make sure nothing crosses the border. I mean, the only thing that's more intense than that probably is Donald Trump's troops on the Mexican border. Okay, that's probably the only thing sniffing out them Mexicans. All right, that's probably the only thing. So they went in, Bikavana, to sniff out all the oil and be matam of the oil. So ask the Sfas Emes, what in the world is pshat in the rest of the Gemara? The Gemara says, until the Beis Chashem Noah ben Yitzchum, Botku, they searched, and they only found one pach shemen. Ask the Sfas Emes, Botku? They searched? If you say they found it, Matsu, boy! But Botku? But these 13, 14, 15, however many people, they're going to do a better job than 1,000 people trying Badafka to be Matama oil? They're going to do a better job? They're going to find the oil? Ooh, secret hiding place. Trust me, they looked in every single place. No? Sfas Emes. Mm-hmm. Says the Sfas Emes, that's Budku, that's a Yid. A Yid knows that really all growth in Avodas Hashem makes no sense. Rabbi Yerucham, we spoke out a few years ago. Rabbi Yerucham says, based on Masilas Hasharim, that in order to grow in Avodas Hashem, you have to beat your Teva. You must beat your Teva. Teva says, don't do nothing. Don't grow in Avodas Hashem. Be lazy, give into your Taiva. So if you grow in Avodas Hashem, says Rabbi Yerucham, it's a nace. It's a nace. The kach have derech Avodas Hashem. Budku. You have to do your part. Does it make no sense? Makes no sense. Does that matter? No. Is that what Hashem wants from you? Yes. You try as hard as you can, and you'll see, you'll be zoicha to the siyat d'shma, you'll be zoicha to the nes. And that was the nes of the Shemin. They knew there was no way in the world. And that was the nes of the Mochama. They knew there was no way in the world. No way. What does that have to do with anything? All of Avodas Hashem is like that. There's no way in the world. It's always a nes. Every time you learn something and you finally understand it, that's also nice. That's also nice. I've been doing this job for a long time. I learn with a lot of people, and I don't get it. They just don't get it. And then one day, they just get it. What happened? I learned with a guy now. Certain guy, I'm not going to tell you who. Doesn't make a difference. You don't know him. He's not here. I learn with him, and he just doesn't get it. And I learn and doesn't get it. And I'm a pretty good Baal Masbir, if I could pat myself on the back in public on recording. Hi. If I could do that. And he just doesn't get it. And you know what happened last week? Such a hard shtickle. Such a hard shtickle. You know what shtickle it was? A hard shtickle. Shnei Shvilin. Why it is that according to the Rush holds that you can use two Dofen Akumas in one Sukkah that's split by Chamesh Tvachim of Schach Pasol. Why he can use his Dofen Akuma, he can use that Dofen Akuma. Why a Tarti to Sasri in Bezdin, they're not allowed to do, but a whole shtickle. And he just got it. This guy just got it. And then I was learning with him. His head is open. It's amazing. Does it make any sense? No, it makes no sense. Zero sense. But kacha v'yaderech v'avodas Hashem. If you, which is what happened by them, if you break your teva, if you try to break teva, you try and break your nature, then you get that neis nigla. That's just the reality. You see, similarly, I spoke out once in the Vad that you see that by Basi Bas Paro. Basi Bas Paro, Mephorshim say that she went to the Yor, she went to the Nile to be Megayer. I heard from Reb Druk, he asked, what's the Raya that she went to be Megayer? So, Bekitz, I don't want to take too much time on it, but he says that there has to be something very, very wrong with you. According to one man, the Amar in the Gemara Megillah, her arm stretched 100 amas. That's almost 200 feet. Almost 200 feet, according to Chazon Ish. So what are you thinking? you're at the edge of the river and you're going like this. What are you thinking? There's no way. How are you going to get it? The answer is that's the raya. She went to be Megayer. She went to become a Gioris. Because only a Jew knows that you'll have Siyata D'Shmaya. You're trying to do the impossible? You're right. But everything in Avodah Hashem is impossible. But you know what? Hashem gives a Siyata D'Shmaya and it works. For some people, incentives are a dream. A dream. You know, I want to learn anyway. I want to daven anyway. I want to do what's right anyway. And I want to go to Europe anyway. This is great. It's great. It's a dream come true. And it's just sweet from beginning to end. They were waiting for this. Those were the guys who voted. Could we please have 4 months of incentives? They have black and blue marks over Sukkot's vacation. Now you know why. Anyway, you know, when you're dancing. Anyway. But not everybody feels that way. Rightfully so. Not everybody's used to that. Not everybody at this point really wants that. It's difficult. For some people, it's almost a little bit bitter, you know? It's not what I want to be doing for 2 months and change. It's just not. So let me tell you a little secret. The Kli Yoker and the Ramban in Parshas B'Shalach, they're going on the Pasuk when after Kriyas Yamsuf. So they went to a place that was ultimately afterwards called Mara. It was very bitter water. What are we going to drink? The water is very bitter. Hashem showed them a stick, an eitz, and he says, put it into the water. And the water became sweet. The Ramban and the Kli Yoker, they explain what was this eitz according to one man, the Amr. That's a little bit of machlekes, but what was this? What was this stick? The stick was an eitz zayis, which has a lot to do with Hanukkah, obviously. It's an eitz zayis, and an eitz zayis is very bitter. So it really doesn't make too much sense. You take a bitter stick and you put it into bitter water, and it becomes sweet. And both of them use the same basic, the same expression, which is kach havi derech. Of Torah. That's the derech of Torah. That's something that's bitter, it's not easy at the beginning. If you just keep doing it, even though that's bitter too, that's a lot of hard work. But in the end, tchilaso mar, v'soifo masuk, in the end it's going to be sweet. That's Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is like that. See, even for a person with the incentives at the beginning is not very geschmack. It's not. It's not sweet at all. As a matter of fact, it might even be bitter. That's normal. Kach havi aderech shel Torah. That's the derech of Torah, say the Rishonim. That it's tchilas omar v'soif masuk. In Parshas Tetzaveh, the Mefurshim speak out, which is the Shemen Lema'or of the Menorah. What Shemen Lema'or? Shemen Zach Kosis. It has to be squeezed out, not pulverized, not filtered, just squeezed out. The Mefurshim explained, V'kach havi derech of Klal Yisrael. If a person gets squeezed, he gets pushed, he gives himself a little bit of Yisurim, he tries, he pushes himself, then the inner beauty comes out. That is how we are built, that's how Torah and Mitzvahs are built, and that's how Klal Yisrael is built. And then you get that pure Shemen, your pure inner beauty, that's what comes out. The Orchid Tzadikim, last week we learned, the Orchid Tzadikim and Shar Ratzin, I'll just read you this, his expression. Vayosim Ratzayinu ala Mitzvahs, put your Ratzayin to Mitzvahs, Afal Pishem Kashis Alav Ma'oid. The mitzvahs are so hard for you. Avabisha koshes alav moid. Yosim ritzainu aleim ad shu chavivus alav. If you keep pushing, putting your ratzain in mitzvah, in Torah, in mitzvahs and avodas Hashem, even though it's very difficult, you don't like it, you will see it will become chaviv to the person. If a person sticks with his decision, I'm going to do this, I signed up for incentives, I came to this yeshiva, which most of the winter's man is built on this. And that even though it's taking me out of my comfort zone, but if a person sticks with it, with the incentives, he'll see how much growth he actually accomplishes. And it will come sweet in the end. I'm going to say something that I normally don't do, but I think it was the Iris of Hanukkah. It's against my Mahalach and Limud Lagarmi to do what I'm about to do. But it hit me last night. I have no idea why. I'm not a gematria person at all. But steroids, the gematria is 259. Incentives is 259. Okay? If you want to check it out afterwards, you can check it out. I want to end the Amish. We have a minute left. I heard from my Rebbe of Yaakov Moshe Katz on Friday. I went to Shmuz. And he said a very beautiful point. It says, we say in Al-Anisim, they wanted Lahavira Michukei Ritzaynecha. It also says, Lashkicha Mitoyasecha. He asked the Kasha, Lashkicha Mitoyasecha, to forget your Torah. How do you forget something? You get them that they don't learn, then you're not forgetting, you just never learned it. How do you get somebody, Lashkicha Mitoyasecha, to forget about your Torah? So I'll tell you a little story real quick. I once went to go buy a svarim for bar mitzvah. Now, anyone here who's ever bought a bar mitzvah sefer knows that there's a bar mitzvah sefer section in a svarim store, which goes between 20 and 40 shekels. Okay, that's normally what they're for. So I'm going and I'm picking up and one sefer, and there was no price. So I asked the guy in the svarim store, what's the price? And he says, 29 shekels. Picked up another one. I only had like 25 shekels on me, whatever it was. So then 31, then 38, then 32, then 25. So I took it. I said, "Slicha, echa ta socher? There's not a single price in anything. How do you remember?" He says, "Bachorchik, masha chashuv leben adam hu zocher. What's important to you, that's what you remember. Everybody knows that. What's important to you, you remember. If it's not important to you, you don't remember. Lashkicham Torah Secho was because they were zedim." They were leitzanim, the Yavanim. They machta leitzanis, and it's not important. Torah is not important. So, mamela, you forget about Torah. It's not important. That's all they did. We have a big, big, big chiyuv to thank the Rosh Hashiva. Tremendous chiyuv to thank the Rosh Hashiva. The amount of time and effort, monetarily, koichas and nefesh, that go into the incentives, for one reason only. That we should never forget how chashuv Torah is and give us that opportunity that we should work and push ourselves that even if Torah is not the sweetest thing, if davening is not the sweetest thing, if tikkun amidos is not the sweetest thing, but in the end, it will be the sweetest thing and we'll never, ever, ever want to stop. We have to thank the Rosh Hashiva, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all siyata to the Shemaya, that Torah and mitzvah should become sweet every day of our lives.